There's a story of a cat that went to heaven. And when the cat got to heaven, God met the cat and asked the cat how he could make his life more comfortable. The cat said, "All those years in the barn on that hard cement floor, I'd do anything for a pillow." And so God gave the cat a pillow and he fell asleep fast. He thought, "This is heaven." A few days later, a group of mice came to heaven and God met them and asked them how he could make their stay more comfortable. And they said, "Well, there aren't that many of us and we're getting older, but if you could give us roller skates, that would be fantastic because we'll just go here and there." And he gave them the roller skates and the mice knew they were in heaven. A few days later, God checked up on the cat to see how he was doing. And the cat said, "This is the best place I ever lived. I couldn't have dreamed how good it is. I love my pillow. But you just completely outdid yourself with providing me those meals on wheels." Things are not always as they appear at first glance. Let's pray. God, there's things in life that at times don't make sense to us. Not at all. They're anything but clear. We know to separate ourselves from you and your ways would be utter foolishness. So we pray that you would give us the grace and the strength to hold on and trust you. Trust that you have a way through for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today will be Matthew 13, 24 to 30, and then 36 to 43, and Ernie will put that up, and I'll read it to you. First, Matthew 13, 24 to 30. He put before them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' He replied, 'No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I'll tell the reapers to collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gathered the wheat into the barn.'" For the second section, starting verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went to the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children from the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they'll collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." We're in the season of Lent, which spans 6 weeks and leads us into Good Friday and Easter Sunday. This takes us through Passion Week, the Via Dolorosa, the path of sorrows, with Jesus' crucifixion, but we're glad that the story doesn't end here. Spoiler alert, on Easter Sunday, Jesus is resurrected from the dead and later ascends into the clouds of heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father who is positioned today. Sometimes we need forgiveness. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we need to forgive others. Take this opportunity in the season of Lent to be open to the Holy Spirit's promptings in your life and heart. In our series during Lent, we're looking at Jesus' theme in Matthew 13, where he's giving imagery to what the new kingdom God is bringing to earth is looking like. Last week, we looked at a passage in Matthew 13, 31 to 35, where Jesus said it was like a mustard seed and yeast that was working through dough. Jesus often used things that were common illustrations that his audience would have been familiar with, themes leading toward common agricultural activities. These parables of Jesus often had hidden and surprising outcomes. For the hearts that were spiritually soft, the seeds went down deep into their souls. But for those who were hard-hearted, the truths just bounced off their hard soil. Matthew 13, 24, 25. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven, God, may be compared to someone who sowed good seeds in a field, but while everyone was sleeping, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. When you've planted a garden, have you ever had weeds grow alongside your precious plants? I wonder if a neighbor came along with a bag of seeds full of weeds when you weren't looking. Have you ever planted something with your children? Usually children expect immediate results from planting. They'll go back day after day and wonder why nothing is coming out of the ground. There is a time period that happens in between the planting and the first shoots of growth, an inactive period of time. We tell our kids to be patient, wait, and don't water too much. Sometimes when things start growing, it can be hard to tell the difference between what we planted and the weeds or the grass growing alongside. Then in Matthew 13, 26, so when the plants came up and bore grain, then weeds appeared as well. In this parable, probably after a couple months, the workers in the field realized what has happened. An enemy has infiltrated their planting operation. When you have as many weeds as you do wheat in a grain field, this is not a good situation. This becomes the moment of truth. Yikes. Years ago, when my uncle farmed, he would try and get away with using as little pesticide as possible because of cost. If you don't stay on top of the weeds, they can take over the whole field. One year, my uncle's farm was full of beautiful yellow flowers. From a distance, you might assume it was canola flowers. But in reality, it was mustard weed, which produced also yellow flowers. This was not good for my uncle because it meant a low return or actual grain yield he would get off the field. And also bad for his neighbors because the mustard seeds could spread to their land and fields. Then in Matthew 13, 27, and the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did these weeds come from?" The field workers are putting their Sherlock Holmes skills together. If you use poor seeds, you're going to get a poor crop, whether it's potatoes, wheat, or faba beans. Often farmers will take the extra step of taking their seed to a seed cleaning plant to make sure no dirt or shells end up in the seeds they'll plant next year. The obvious equation here: you plant good seeds, you get a good crop. You plant bad seeds, you get a bad crop. Matthew 13, 28. The master responds saying, "An enemy has done this." And then the servants ask, "What do you want us to do? Pull out the weeds?" Have you ever had a situation go south for you with your kids, at school, co-workers, in your relationships or friendships? What's your immediate response? We want to regain control of the situation. We want to put the fire out with as little collateral damage as possible. But in Matthew 13, 29, here's where the surprise comes in the story. The master says, "This is a bad idea. If you try pulling out the weeds, you'll rip out the stalks of wheat right with them. So the plan of action is do nothing." When was the last time that you had a crisis, a four-bell alarm, and your response was to do nothing? You don't pull your kids out of school. You don't quit your job. You don't unfriend everybody on Facebook. You don't sell the house. You don't move away. If you aren't doing something, does that mean you don't care? Of course not. But how many times we rushed into situation and actually made the situation worse by throwing unintended gasoline on the fire? It's highly possible that we are not seeing the full picture in the events that have played out right in front of us. In our parable, if they would have ripped the weeds out, they would have pulled out the valuable grain at the same time, and there would have been no harvest. Sometimes in life, there'll be ambiguity, and things will not be clear. Most times in life, there'll be ambiguity, and things will not be clear. When we act in the midst of the confusion or times of desolation, it rarely ends up going well for us in the end. Matthew 13:30. The parable ends with the master saying, "Let them both grow together until the harvest. At the harvest time, I'll tell the reapers to collect the weeds first in bundles, burn them, and then gather the wheat into the barn." David Wenham says this, "So you have good and evil coexisting at the same time until the harvest." What? The forces of good and evil functioning in the same world at the same time? Didn't Jesus' victory on the cross settle this? Yes and no. Haven't you seen this in your own life? Romans 15:15, the Apostle Paul says, "I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." There's a war going on inside of us that we can only win with the power of Jesus Christ. What is interesting is that once the crowds left, Jesus' disciples asked, "What does this parable mean?" Sometimes when you're reading the Bible and you're reading a section, you're thinking, "I have no idea what this means." The disciples were in the exact same position. They're walking with Jesus every day. He tells stories. Then afterwards they say, "What did you say?" Matthew 13:37-39, Jesus explains who the main characters of the story are. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, is Jesus, bringing the good news that through him all people can be saved. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, Jesus' followers, while the weeds are the children of the evil one sowed by the devil. These people are being used by the enemy knowingly or unknowingly against God and his ways. And you know what? You'll find this. You'll find this at school. You'll find this in your neighborhood. You'll find this in your jobs. You might even find it in your family, where there are people that seem to be working against you constantly, and they don't even know why they're working against you. They're being used unknowingly. The harvest is at the end of the age, or the end of time, and the reapers are the angels. The field is the world, but it rightly belongs to the master. At the fall of Adam and Eve, they gave dominion of the earth that God had given them over to the evil one. In the kingdom, Jesus is bringing the dominion over the whole world goes back to its rightful owner, to God, to the Creator. The ones doing the sowing are those who are followers and disciples of Jesus. Unfortunately, the evil one still has influence in the world, sowing his weeds until Christ's second coming, God's kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven, that will bring salvation to the whole world and in the world. All of creation rightly belongs to God, and he'll come and redeem it and make everything right. Our relationships with God will be restored. Our relationships with each other will be restored. Our understanding of who we are will be restored. And our conflict with creation itself will finally be restored. The final three verses, Matthew 13:41-43. And then there'll be a separation between sin, evil, and the enemy followers who are thrown into the furnace of fire, and the righteous who will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Pat Conroy wrote a book called My Losing Season. He played basketball, university basketball, and he was a point guard. And he wrote the book explaining how winning was impacting his faith and how losing was. And he writes this: winning makes you think you'll always get the girl, land the job, deposit the million-dollar check, win the promotion, and you grow accustomed to a life of answered prayers. Losing, he writes, is a fiercer, more of an uncompromising teacher, cold-hearted, but clear-eyed in understanding that life is more dilemma than gain, more trial than free pass. Conroy says, though I learned some things from the games we won that year, I learned much more from the losses. Life is not as much about the appearance of winning or losing as it is about the person we're becoming. Father Green wrote a book called Weeds Among the Wheat, which is on spiritual discernment, trying to determine what is the best way to respond in a given situation or dilemma. With Jesus coming, we're seeing a foreshadowing of the life that the kingdom of God is bringing to our world and our own lives. The kingdom of heaven is bringing a revolution against the evil forces. And although the spiritual battle is going on all around us, often unseen, it is real. And it has implications on our physical world. Wenham again. He says, how can you tell those who are part of God's kingdom of light? That's a good question. First, they're the seeds that God is sowing in the world. As God graciously transforms us into the image of His Son, what we become is earth-shattering. Now we are people who live to please God and love our neighbors ourselves. We no longer live and act like we are the king and queen of our lives. And we no longer invest our lives in building our own kingdoms. Instead, there's a dramatic shift. We long to give our lives away like the humble example of Jesus. Secondly, this revolutionary movement is a family movement. It is personal and loving and caring for each other, where everyone belongs. This stems from our close intimacy with Jesus, who loved us when we were still His enemies. We're now sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thirdly, these are called righteous because of being in right relationship with God and each other, and also because of choosing to embrace right living and a godly life. When our relationships take priority over any and all of our worldly possessions, we know something good is happening in our lives. I want to say that again. When our relationships are taking priority over any and all of our worldly possessions, we know something good is happening within us. Fourthly, those who belong to God's kingdom will shine or stand out. Swimming against a current popular culture that is here one day and gone the next, the wheat is going to look different than the weeds that are all around them. So if all of this is true, what is taking so long for the kingdom of God to bring all these wonderful conclusions? We're living in the time of the now and the not yet. That in-between time when the seed was first sown and the harvest will happen. God's kingdom will be complete and final. But what do we do until that happens? The Apostle Paul gives a great response, Galatians 6, 8 to 10, saying, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest life with the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of God. As followers of Jesus, our purpose Our purposeful desire is to live in such a way that we love God with all our heart. We love God with all our mind. We love God with all our soul. We love God with all of our strength. And we love our neighbors ourselves. We should do all this in humility, not trying to judge who else in the field is grain of wheat or weed. God will sort all that out. Live in such a way that your lifestyle pleases God and that you're loving and gracious to others. And they'll see the life of Christ in you, which is incredibly attractive. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to become everything that you've created us to be. You have planted us in good soil. Help us, help bring us all the nurturing we need to be strong in you. Reflect your life-giving power through us to a hurting and darkened world. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. needed. I have a couple announcements. Benediction, we'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. Just a reminder, youth, this week, Wednesday, 7:00, 8:30. Other things that are coming is Good Friday service at the Father's house. Soon we'll have soup and pie again. You know what's amazing about the Gospels, the first four books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Wherever Jesus goes, everybody wants to be with him. They can't go and eat food. They can't go into a house. At times they can't even sleep because everybody wants to be with Jesus. Do you know what happens when we intentionally want to be with Jesus? People are drawn to us because of the Jesus in us. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing the only one that will bring ultimate peace and healing is Jesus to our world. Amen.
Would you like to stand with us while we close?